Did we all who went to the bathroom while we were gone? Okay, did anybody talk to Jesus, went to the bathroom? You know, remember the Jew, that was normal, you know, and it's fascinating regarding just how God designed me. In fact, going back to the elimination, and one of the things we think of it, but actually God's given us four ways to eliminate toxins. Anybody know that? What are four different ways? Okay, number one, go in the bathroom, go in poo, okay? Number two is urinating, okay? Third, actually, the largest organ of your body is the skin. So skin is the way that your body detoxifies, okay? Saunas, exactly. So now we're connecting to real life. We think, oh, those crazy Scandinavians and saunas. Well, why? Oh, just upset the finish. So why? Because they live in colder climates and are not able to sweat as much. So they actually said, well, we need to sweat, okay? And finally, the area of breathing, okay? You know, there's new age deep breathers, the yoga. So this is why we don't breathe. You know, so that's bad. No, we need to breathe because we have gases that expelled out from our body because that's very important, especially those who have lung issues. We need to realize we need to stretch the lungs. And so deep breathing is very important. In fact, let's do that right now. Put your hand on your tummy, okay? And I was always taught when I breathe, it was to, you know, breathe like that, right? But you should breathe with your tummy coming out. And so what you want to do is breathe through your nose, and you should feel your tummy expand out, okay? So let's start breathing. And you should hold it. Get the top. Hold it. You should actually have a nice big belly here, okay? Okay, some of us who are pregnant even have a bigger belly. Right, okay. Okay, and now as we breathe out through the mouth slowly, this should be pushing back in. None of this shoulder breathing. You should breathe. You sit there, if you're bored in YRM class, what you can do is just sort of sit there with your practice being, having your belly come out and having your belly go in and stuff, okay? So there's a God-given ways, okay? So let's get to we're going today. I know we're going to try to finish by noon, because noon we get to eat. Hallelujah. Okay, okay, the Bible decides truth, and that's our foundation. Again, we said that the Bible is not a nutritional textbook. We said, thank God it's not, because it changes all the time. But number two, and this is something we haven't looked at a lot, and we think of nutrition, we think, well, we got to go to science. What does science say? And I say, well, hold on. Before we go to science, I want to look at history. Okay, who's healthy? Very logically. And so for that, we're going to rely on the foundation, that we're members of this foundation. We're actually working on becoming local chapters. It's called the Weston A. Price Foundation. I have free material for you guys to take, if you would like, about the foundation and what it talks about. But what is it? They have quarterly magazines you can sign up for. I mean, if you become a member, they'll send it actually to you. Very fascinating. What is the Weston A. Price Foundation? Well, it's based on the work of Weston A. Price. He was a dentist in the 1920s and 30s in Cleveland, Ohio. He's been called the Isaac Newton of nutrition because he figured out the fundamental laws of human diets. And it was he who put us on the path to discovery of these basic fundamental laws of nutrition and the like. And so what he noticed is that in his clinic, a lot of people were coming in with cavities, kids, younger kid generation, and others were not. And he started wondering, why do some people have cavities and some people do not? And why do those who have cavities tend to have health issues and those who don't have cavities tend not to have it? And so he was curious. And at that time, he was seeing what they call dental deformities, which we call crooked teeth. Now, anybody have crooked teeth here? Okay, my mouth was a mess, okay? And someone said, it looks like someone threw the teeth in your mouth, okay? So I had braces. Now, we have ways of correcting these crooked teeth. But more and more, he noticed these dental deformities and underbites, overbites, and he was saying, noticing a lot of health issues related to these type of dental deformities. And so what he started questioning is that he had heard reports around the world of these adventurers going out and finding these primitive cultures who had teeth white and straight as piano keys. And as a dentist, he'd go, what? Beautiful teeth like piano keys, rows of pearls. He goes, well, I don't see that necessarily here in America. And so he took it upon himself to do an investigation. And the investigation lasted about 10 years. And what he did, he would go and try to find cultures that had not been touched by the Western diet. And that was mostly refined flours, refined oils, refined sugars. And then he said, well, are these people with these teeth, is it really true? Because, you know, back then the camera was invented and National Geographic was printing these things of these beautiful Native Indians, but their teeth were beautiful. And as a dentist, he would notice their wide faces, and it intrigued him. So he says, I'm going to go study these things. And so if that was true, what were they eating? Because he started realizing, you know, I think there's a correlation between food and dental health. And he goes, I want to study this more. And so if he found those people who had these beautiful teeth, and then he wanted to say, well, and their health was evident, they said, well, I don't know what they're eating. So he wanted to find a healthy culture who had perfect teeth, and then started saying, what were they eating? Okay? And so his studies lasted 10 years, and he wrote a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. Yes, it's one of the books that I got into as I was getting passionate. It's like, you know, it's very technical about some of the things he did, but very detailed studies of the different cultures he visited. And now, where did he go? Well, actually, he went all over. He took him to, actually, the first village he went to was in Switzerland here. Very interesting. And then down to the Scotland, the Eskimos, or the Inuit people of North America, American Indians in Canada as well, the Florida Everglades, South Seas, Australian Aborigines, the Maoris, all you New Zealand boy here? No, there is. New Zealanders, Peruvian and South American groups, as well as African. So he covered a lot of areas. And because this is the perfect time to go out, because isolated tribes still existed, okay? Today, there's very few of these isolated tribes. Now, this is why we have Coke in almost any, you know, why members we go to these unreached people groups, and there they have having Coke and Snickers bar. And so because it's not quite the same as his time. And so he asked these right questions, and he studied these things. And so what he did and what he would do would go to village, and this was in 1932, and the first place he went was a village called it's in Switzerland here, and it's called, I can't pronounce it, Luitschental? Okay, that valley, okay? And it was a remote valley. And what he'd do, he'd line up all the children and the adults in the village once he got permission from authorities, and he discovered that in this village, less than 1% tooth decay, okay? And furthermore, he noticed that no one had dental deformities. Every single child in the adult village had straight teeth and broad faces, and the adults all had their wisdom teeth. Now, I've had four of my wisdom teeth pulled out because my mouth was too small, okay? And so we're seeing a lot of these small mouths today and narrow faces. And by the way, something he noticed here in a lot of cultures, children never brush their teeth. Okay? Now, this will probably be the first thing you start going, well, hold on. And you'll be realizing that this is going to confront a lot of things we're told today was healthy for us. Okay? So just be taking note. They've never seen a toothbrush. In fact, a lot of these kids, their teeth were covered in green slime, but they noticed there's no cavities. They were very hardy. They played in the ice-cold streams that the glacier melts. And they're very strong. The men are always noticed to win a lot of the athletic contests. And the women for their beauty. And so one thing you noticed here, at that time, tuberculosis was a major problem in the nation of Switzerland. And he learned that in this village, that there had never been a case of tuberculosis in this village, even though at that time tuberculosis was rampant in the other parts of the country of Switzerland. And he couldn't explain this fact because people from the village would go outside and work and come back to the village. So they had contact with TB, but they never contacted it. And so he found a culture. He said, wow, here's a culture that's healthy. Their teeth are right on. So they said, well, what are they eating? What were these Swiss villagers eating? Okay. And so he realized that all the food was produced right in their own valley. And the only food that was brought outside the valley was salt, and that was carried in by foot. And the number one food in the diet was the very food that was blamed for causing the epidemic of tuberculosis throughout the Switzerland and the world. And that food was raw milk. Okay, raw milk. These people kept cattle and goats. They grazed on the rich lands of the valleys there. And their diet consisted of raw milk, raw cheese, raw cream, and raw butter. They also grew rye, which they made into a very dense sourdough bread. And they had meat one time per week. usually veal because they killed the calves to get the remnant for the cheese. They ate the whole animal. They boiled the bones to make soups and stuff, and the whole part of the animal is used, not just the meat part. And in the summer months, they had vegetables. But basically, their diet was raw milk and sourdough bread, because the rye was made into a sourdough. Okay, and we'll see this more and more. All these cultures put a lot of emphasis on fermenting or sourdoughing their grains. Now, here's a picture of one of the breads. This is during a festival. And if you can see up on top here, that little hole right here, okay? This is where they would actually hang, after they make the bread, they would hang the bread for another few weeks to let it ferment even longer. So this idea of preparing their grains very specially before they ate them was very important, okay? And we'll see that in a lot of issues. Now, every culture also had what they call a sacred food. Now, sacred food was a food that was considered very important for pregnant women and growing children, okay? And for the Swiss villagers, this was butter that came from the cows when they first went up to pasture in the spring. And this butter was a very deep orange color, okay? Now today, what color is butter? Whitish yellow. I mean, sometimes in Spain, we get these box of butter, it's almost white, okay? But here, in the springtime, when all these nutrients were growing in the grasses, the cows would eat those nutrients and produce a butter that had so much nutrients in it, so much color, it was orange. And that's a good way for us to understand nutrition. Okay, things that tend to be brighter in color tend to have more nutrition. Okay, this is why iceberg lettuce, it's very pale, doesn't have a lot of nutrition to it. So, but this was very important. They actually made sure that the pregnant women and growing children got this. And we'll see this in a lot of these cultures. Now, what did he notice? They noticed that once these tribal people or these traditional people eating traditional diet left the traditional diet, and no longer drank these raw milks and things, they started experiencing toothbrush issues, tooth decay. Outside of this village, he found other villages had stores selling sugar, white flour, jams and jellies, condensed canned milk, canned foods, and vegetable oils. At the time, the common, most common vegetable oil was cottonseed oil. And so people no longer drank the rich raw milk. But where was all that milk going to? Guess where all the farmers were selling their milk to? The chocolate factories. Okay, so they said, we're not going to drink the milk anymore and make cheese. We'll sell money and make chocolate out of it. And so here we saw pictures of people, kids, who started changing that traditional diet. And he started noticing that they had dental deformities. The teeth were coming in overlapping and crowded. And kids born to parents who had changed their diet were born with narrow faces and a lot more health issues than their previous things. And guess what disease was rampant among these type of people who changed their diets? Tuberculosis. Okay, TB came back. Okay? And so he was, wow, he's like, wow, it's very unusual. Okay, so let's go to another culture. So he went to the Scottish Gaelic people off the islands of New Hebrides. And he very beautiful health, no dental decay, free of tuberculosis. They're very bright, cheerful, even though they lived on an island that was very fog swept, a lot of rain and wind. And the diet of these people was very different than those of Switzerland, okay? And this is what he noticed. We thought, well, there's got to be one key diet, and every culture he went to was a different diet. Now, I think this is the God-given thing, because Genesis 11 talks about the Tower of Babel. Nations were created when God divided the languages, and from that came culture, and from that, we have all this cultural food, which is part of a God-given gift, expression. So I think that's exciting. So these people, they had no dairy animals, they had no animals of any kind, they had no chickens, no pigs, and they had no fruit and no vegetables, which means no broccoli. How can you be healthy without eating broccoli? But they were, and they didn't have any broccoli. So what were they eating? Lots of seafood, okay? Now before I get into this, I want us to understand that I laid the foundation first to understand biblically. So what I want us to do now is whatever we see, whether it's this foundation, which I really believe in, we put our biblical glasses on, okay? And so we're going to be learning about food cultures here, that they ate a lot of things we would consider not the best choice from a biblical standpoint. So we can learn from this, but I want us to just understand that we laid a biblical foundation first, and so we're going to apply that as we look at these things. So they ate lots of seafood and all types, not just the skinless fish fillets, but the whole fish, including the skin, the head, the liver, and the liver oil, considered, say, amen to liver oil from the Scandinavians, okay? They also grew oats, which they made into a porridge and oat cakes. And oats and seafood, that was the diet. The only green food they had was seaweed, okay? And the sacred food, now in Switzerland, the sacred food was butter. I mean, can you say yes? I mean, who likes butter? I mean, I love butter, okay? But it's bad for us. We'll talk about that, how we cannot eat butter because it's so bad for us. Okay. But their sacred food here for pregnant women was this. Cods, the fish, the cods had stuffed with oats and chopped cod's liver. Okay? That was the sacred food that if you're pregnant, you could eat this. Children, you could eat this, and we'll understand why. Okay? Here's a picture of their houses. They lived on these grass thatch roofs. They would the soil was so poor in this area. What they do is that they live in these smoky environments. And so when the health officials came and said, "Oh my gosh, you live in this smoke-filled room and you've got to be it's sick," but they were never sick because of the nutrient density of their food was able their body to eliminate and purify them always. And with every spring, what they do is they take off that roof, that thatch roof, that was grass and things. And they'd put it into the soil as fertilizer. And they knew that soil fertility was very important for healthy crops. And so what Dr. Price did, he said, well, I'm going to test that. So he took some oats and he planted these different pots on the bottom here. Some of these pots were basic soil on the right. Nothing happened. All the way up to the left was the soil with that thatch roof in it. It was the only pot that actually produced oats. And so he realized they have wisdom here that we're missing. And so when the health authorities came in, they said, no, you need to go to a normal house and get rid of this healthy thing. So if they got rid of that type of gardening, and guess what? The soil didn't produce anymore. Okay? So the Alaskan people, another group he went to, very healthy group. He describes himself, the teeth of the women on the left is virtually two rows of pearls. Babies were very strong. They're very curious and alert. One observation he made was that primitive cultures, the babies rarely cried. They only cried when they hurt themselves. Okay, now I've had kids, and man, yeah, okay. So that was not my experience, you know, always. So crying was considered normal. But he used the word primitive in a very honoring sense. A lot of times we think primitive in the evolutionary sense. But he used it as a very honoring sense because at his time, evolution was accepted in all the area, even in the church. And so He was inspired by their wisdom. Many Eskimos had worn down their teeth or even had missing teeth because they chewed on leather to make their clothes and often encountered grains of sands. But even with their worn-out teeth, they still had no cavities, okay, and no dental deformities. They're very healthy. He talked to one doctor who lived with 30 years among the Eskimos. He said that the doctor said he had never seen a case of cancer, heart disease, or any condition requiring an operation among those Eskimos who lived on their ancestors' diet. But once they went to the modern food, they contracted all the other diseases of the modern people at that time, tuberculosis and suffering. The women gave birth with ease. Okay, this was something that today we're seeing more and more birth difficulties. Cesareans, because the pelvic opening is so narrow, babies can't come out. Women gave birth with ease. A lot of times women will give birth while their fathers were asleep. And they get up in the morning, it's like, surprise, baby boy. Wow, when did that happen? Wow. Okay, and so the modern Eskimos, when they started changing their diet, they lost their facial characteristics. They had more narrow faces. They had underbites, overbites. And this pattern was repeated over and over again. Once you left that type of diet, you saw the facial structures changing. Now, people used to blame us at that time on genetics, this narrowing the faces. And Dr. Price very boldly said, no, this is a nutritional issue. Well, everyone said, no, this is a genetics issue, and you can't intermarry and stuff. He said, no, it's a nutritional issue. And so what type of food did the Eskimos eat? Well, the number one source of calories in the Eskimo diet was seal oil, animal fat from the seal, and which you see in them carrying in the stomach of the seal here. Okay, so that was seal oil. Now, we would say from a biblical standpoint, seal is not a fish that or animal that, you know, chews its cut and stuff. But here they were eating. 80% of their diet was saturated fat, seal oil. Okay, they used it for cooking, for food storage, food preparation. They dipped their food in it, used it as a dressing. And they had Eskimo ice cream. Now, listen to this yummy type here. Eskimo ice cream was beating the seal oil until it got frothy and then adding a few berries. And this was for special occasions like birthdays. Okay, so can you imagine singing happy birthday to you? Here's frothy seal oil with some blackberries. Okay. They also made fish egg ice cream by squishing fish eggs up in the snow and adding them to the whipped seal oil. Okay, so lots of fish. And they also prepared their fish by fermentation. So this is another word we'll hear a lot of, fermentated. Okay, they throw it into a big hole until it allowed it to ferment, and it came soft and slightly rancid, and they ate lots of game animals. Okay, so Dr. Price is taking notes. Why on earth would you do that? Why would you just eat the fish, cook it on the ground, and we put it into a hole, let it ferment? Okay, and they had a rule about eating meat. They never ate their meat lean. Okay, no, they always ate their meat with fat. Okay, today we're told that we need to eat lean meat. And this Paleolithic diet is a very common diet today that says we need to eat like our Paleolithic ancestors. Well, it's anti-biblical, number one, because they're based on the evolution. But number two, they said, well, no, these people threw away the fat and they didn't eat the saturated fat. They had a lot of meat, but, you know. And so it's one of the things we'll look at. But here they said, no, we never ate our meat lean. We always ate it with the fat. And they understood that. They would dry their meat. They would smoke their meat. But when they ate it, they put a smear on fat as if it was like butter on top. They ate a lot of the organ meats, particularly the liver, the brain, the stomach, the marrow, the intestines of the animal. And so that was their diet, fat and some other things. Okay, 80% of their diet was fat. Okay, and this was their sacred food, salmon, dried salmon roe or fish eggs. And they dried it to heaven year-round. And Dr. Price would ask him why they went to so much trouble to dry these eggs. And guess what they said? We need this throughout the year so we can have healthy babies. Okay? They understood babies' health was tied into certain nutrient-dense foods like fish eggs. Okay? And he found that in other cultures who would hike for days, you know, live up high in the mountains, they'd go down to the ocean and get fish eggs, then dry them and bring them back up to their place. Why? Because they wanted healthy babies. He had the same answer from a culture thousands and thousands of kilometers away. Okay? So, some Canadian Indians as well. He studied different things. We won't go into all these different details here, but South Pacific, this was on an island untouched by the Western civilization at that time. Can you imagine getting off the boat and finding the kids on the left, you know, happy? These are teenagers, and, you know, our teenagers today don't have that type of look anymore, do they? And on the right, the same group of people who had left their traditional foods and started eating the latest foods that have been imported on ships and stuff. In fact, in many cases, we see where Sara Lee cakes was a very common thing, and that would be the first thing they unloaded on these islands because it was sold just like that because of the sugar. And so here we have some South Sea Islanders. He noticed that all women look like sisters and all men look like brothers, even though they were not related. The lady in the up here was 90 years old. Okay, notice how well she looks. And one thing he noticed, a lot of these cultures, they lived well over 100. A lot of these cultures didn't even keep birth records. They would sort of guess, but it was very common. Well over 100 years was normal. And when you became 100, you weren't just in the old folks' home. You were very active in the culture as teaching the younger people. And they had special diets for the older people. Okay, and so even living in a very extreme climate like this, they did this. So what else we have here? We have the Aboriginal Australian Aborigines. Okay, again, traditional diet, modern diet, and then the diet of the moms and dad produced children had lots of health issues. Okay, and so this was a very interesting diet, he noticed. There's a lot of variety, including fruits and vegetables and grains and legumes. And the grains and legumes were prepared with great care. Okay, they placed them in leaching baskets in the water and streams for 2 weeks, then prepared the grains by roasting, pounding, and cooking. So again, they had a lot of preparation before they ate their pancakes or their, you know, their breads and things. But they ate also animal foods. They hunted birds, they fished. And again, their culture here, they never ate lean meat. They hunted animals at the time of the year when they had the most fat on them. If a certain bush was in flower, that meant a certain animal was fat, so they'd hunted that animal. They would leave fruit on trees so birds would eat the fruit, so they'd get fat to eat the bird. If they killed a kangaroo and it was too lean, not enough fat on it, they threw it away. Okay, they eat also insects, particularly a witchetty grub, which is 6 inches long, but this long and has lots of fat. Okay, and so, very interesting. Again, he saw that same pattern. Traditional diets, healthy, they changed that diet. Projector will be turned off in 30 seconds. We don't want that to happen. Press button to turn off immediately. Any other button, okay. Any button. Okay, very good. Okay. And so the Africans as well, he had a very interesting thing about Africans. He studied different tribes. Some of the Africans were hunters. They ate a lot of blood. The Maasai tribe in East Africa, their main diet was, I think I have it here, they were cattle herders. They had a lot of their diet was milk, meat, and blood. Okay, drink a lot of blood. Okay, now we know from Scripture that, no, blood was not supposed to be eaten. But they would consume over 4 gallons of milk per day. I'm sorry, 4 liters of milk per day. And it was very rich milk, lots of butter fat. In fact, scientists have studied these people, and they found that they have very low levels of cholesterol and no heart disease. That's strange. But I thought, well, okay, yeah. Other African guys were hunters and fishers. They ate a lot of things raw or cooked. Here, their sacred food was liver. And we'll see liver is a very healthy food in many cultures, and so they ate it raw or cooked as well. And the African culture that had the most issues were those who were the agriculturists. Those ate a lot of vegetables and fruits, okay? He noticed that they had more teeth issues, more dental decay. They were more overweight, but they still had some type of animal foods. They would eat insects as well. And so very interesting. So he just drew the conclusion that there's a variety here that we can look at, okay? And so how can we make this conclusion here? There's a big, strong connection between modern diets and traditional diets, okay? Now, the modern face is on your left here, and the traditional face on the right. Same group of people, boys from the same tribe. But can you tell who was eating the traditional foods that had a lot of nutrient density in it? The one on the right, okay? The one on the left is actually what we consider very normal. Can we see it take very narrow faces today? It's very considered normal. But traditionally, it was never normal because it all that space for all the teeth. And this is why we have so many issues with sinuses and eustachian tube problems and teeth, because there's not enough space for the development of a lot of these parts of our body. And so that was his conclusions here. Okay? And so, yeah, today, this is what our modern children look like. Okay? We think this is normal. In fact, we even consider it from a Hollywood standpoint that, these narrow faces are nice. But one of the issues that Weston A. Price brings up as a foundation is that they want to teach, again, this wisdom of traditional foods. Why? Because we're seeing incredible issues of infertility today. And we're seeing incredible issues of white, blue screens coming on. Okay, now the internet comes on. Okay. Okay. It was awful. I'm trying to get on. I couldn't get on. Okay. But they have a heart to see healthy babies born again. Okay. Infertility. One of the biggest, number one questions I get after doing my seminars is couples come to me afterwards that I can't have kids. We can't have kids. And God said to be fruitful and multiply. But we're seeing again and again today we're having huge infertility issues. And the foundation here recognizes it's a nutritional issue. We've been listening to so many false teachings about nutrition, and we're having the effect of our bodies not functioning right. And women cannot get pregnant. Men cannot reproduce sperm right. And so that's their goal, is just to get this wisdom out to people and apply it. And so we want to encourage you just to get in contact with Weston A. Price, you know, become a member. I believe there's some chapter leaders here in Switzerland. I know, excellent, you have followed Weston A. Price. You know about Weston A. Price. And so to me, it's one of the best sources of health information out there, okay? Because, again, it's confusing. Who do you believe? So my biblical glasses on, I will go and say, well, what does this foundation say? They have yearly conferences in the United States. It's becoming one of the most premier health conferences in the country. And I will actually order and download MP3 topics that they specifically think on. So this right now, this weekend, they're doing a topic on uncurable diseases, incurable, the cancers and the leukemias they can't cure. How can we do it nutritionally? Okay. And so this is what Dr. Price found out. We'll go quickly over these things here. Traditional diets, the foods came from fertile soil. Now, this is very interesting. We talk about food. We have to go back to the soil. How was Adam created? From soil. That's right. And so there's a connection between soil health and human health because it goes back to Genesis. Okay? Traditional cultures always made sure their soil was fertile. They would rotate their crops. They put manures in. They put emphasis on the soil more than the plant. Today, our foods are being grown on depleted soil, and they're growing and mining the soil out. And so our food is not as nutritious anymore. In fact, you can taste it by the flavors. You know, have you ever had a carrot that looks like a carrot, crunches like a carrot, and you go, it doesn't taste like a carrot? That's because there's no nutrition in it. Okay, you can taste the nutrition by sweetness of things. Okay, that's a good way to do it. Number two, organ meats over muscle meats. Cultures always prize the livers and the brains, the things we go, yuck. Okay, today, no, we want the muscle meats. And stay away from those liver meats. They're bad for you. Animal fats were very, very prized in the traditional cultures all around the world. And today we're told animal fats are bad for you. They're high in saturated fat. They call it high cholesterol. They cause heart disease. And we're told to eat vegetable oils. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Animals on pasture, they actually raise cows below the sun out eating grass like God designed. Okay? And today, say, we know we're wiser than God today. We will take our animals and put them under a big barn, and we'll feed them whatever we think is best. Okay? Mad cow disease. Who's heard about the mad cow disease? Anybody know how that came about? Man and his wisdom. If they start from Genesis, the Bible says the animals were created herbivores, and man says, my cows are dying, and I don't want to lose money, so I'll ground up my sick cows, and I'll put it back into the cow feed, and I'll feed it to the cows. And guess what happened? Cows got sick because they ate ground-up cow. Hello? Hello, Mr. Scientist out there. You're missing something, okay? Cows were designed to eat grasses. And so all this mad cow disease is because that a cow who was created herbivore was forced to become a carnivore. Okay, it was not designed for that. Confinement. In fact, this is why we don't see cows out here anymore in Switzerland. A lot of times you still do, but usually it's beautiful fields and lush green trees, but where's the cow? Well, it's in this little house, eating ground up whatever. In fact, they did a study in Harvard about if cows could eat leftover chewing gum from the chewing gum factories, it would affect the cow. And all their scientists got together and studied that, and guess what they found out? They said, it's okay to feed a cow chewing gum. It's okay, we'll grind it up, it's okay, it won't affect it. Okay, dairy products were raw and or fermented, okay? We hear the word raw today, it's like, ooh, be careful, bacteria. Okay, we'll talk about this whole theories of germ theory, okay? But they prized the idea things were fermented. They wanted that bacteria in their body. Today, we pasteurize things. Pasteurization is a process where you boil it and you kill the bacteria because we're told the bacteria are bad for us. No, they aren't. We need bacteria. And so pasteurization is a whole area that we can look into. Grains and legumes were soaked or fermented. Okay, that means they sprouted them. And then why they did that, we'll tell you why a little bit this afternoon. Lots of wisdom in why, how God designed the seeds and how we're not doing today. Today, we just refine them. We take out all the things that God put in it, and we think we're smarter, and we make breakfast cereals and everything else out of them, and we'll talk about breakfast cereals as well. Yay! Okay, bone broths. Okay, they would take, after eating their animal, they would take the bones and boil the bones, okay? And they'd make soups out of it. And traditionally, well, who used to make bone broth growing up in your family? Anybody? Bone broths? Traditionally, every culture, even the Asian culture, lots of fish bones, okay? You always had your broths with your meals. And that is an incredible health benefit. In fact, a lot of people today with digestive issues today realize that bone broths are good for us. Now, today, in our wisdom of our scientists, we have with these little cubes. You mix with water, and it tastes like, ooh, it tastes like chicken. It tastes like beef. Well, they're all artificial, and there's huge health disbenefits from them, okay? Unrefined sweeteners, okay? God created the sweet tooth. It's okay, but God said honey and maple syrup and, you know, molasses, certain type of sweeteners that have had nutrients to it. Man says, no, we refine those things out. It needs to be white. White is the pure, clean type of things, okay? It's the most deadly as well. Lacto-fermented vegetables, what is that? Some of you were last night at the little food seminar, and we made some fermented cabbage we call sauerkraut, okay? Cultures didn't have refrigerators, so what they do, they had to preserve it in a way that was very health-giving, lacto-fermentation, probiotics, and so very healthy, and they would eat it with their meals. Today, we can our vegetables. Of course, you cook them first, then you can it, and then you pasteurize it, and you radiate it, and you microwave it, whatever. Okay, lacto-fermented beverages, what is that? Okay, cultures always had their homemade beverages, like my brother from Ukraine, the kvasses. Last night, we made kombucha tea, okay? Beer and wine were natural lacto-fermented beverages that historically were healthy. Every culture had their own little beverages. Today we say, no, Cokes, Pepsis, soft drinks, sir, that's the YWAM drink, okay? They are killing us, okay? They're not giving any health to our bodies. Unrefined salt. Remember I talked about Jesus said we're the salt of the earth? He's a lousy nutritionist. No, he's still the best nutritionist on earth. But we talk about unrefined salt. Traditional diets always ate their salt unrefined. Okay, today we refine it, and we'll talk about what they do with salt and how it's bad for us. Natural vitamins in food. Okay, Hippocrates said, "Let food be your medicine, and medicine be your food." Okay, that was a historical principle for thousands of years. If I want vitamins and minerals, I go to my food. I don't go to pills as Americans we do. I mean, I grew up in America. It was normal to pop pills. We just thought that was normal. I came to Europe and I saw all these YWAM teams bringing suitcases full of pills. I sort of went, you know, that just doesn't look right. I don't think that's normal, okay? Because we should get our vitamins from our foods, okay, not our pills. Traditional cooking. Slow cooking, you know. Today, you know, long processes, overnights or, you know, boiling things. But today we have the microwave. We have things that are quick because we have more important things to do, like evangelize. Or, okay, no, I'm not downplaying it, but see how we've gotten sucked into this culture that has to be quick, 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 and food, something quick just to take care of, okay? And finally, we have the traditional seed open population, pollination, where they save their seeds. They pass seeds down on from generation to generation. In fact, remember Genesis. God said the plant will reproduce after its kind with seeds in it. That was a God-given thing. Now we have seedless grapes that cannot reproduce. We have hybrid seeds that we try to manipulate the seeds. We have GMOs. Okay, the GMO is a whole new section of how man has said, God, you screwed up. We have a better way to do it, and we're going to try to manipulate things and put into our food and produce things. And so you might have heard that in Eastern Europe, it's sort of, GMOs are more of a, it's more protected here. But basically, a lot of the corn, the soy, the sugar beets, the alfalfas, papayas, they modify the genes at a molecular level, and they produce foods. In fact, many people believe a lot of the sickness that we're seeing today is a result of the body not being able to recognize what a GMO is. Okay, and so when Sydney gets back, I have a video on GMOs, just a quick little, it's a rap song. So we'll close that before we have our lunch, okay? We do that, okay? So thoughts or comments about this historical aside, okay? And then we'll look at some characteristics. But any thoughts or comments before we move on here? Yes. Right. Okay. This is where I try to give a general overview. In my take, it shouldn't be complicated. Now, one of the things we think as Christians, we think of science as, oh, that's secular, and we leave it to the scientists. Well, actually, God created science. In Genesis 1, he says, subdue and rule the earth. And that Hebrew word to subdue gives the mentality of an intense study of his creation. I've often wondered, so why didn't God just touch Adam's brain and go, ding, you know everything? Because he wanted Adam to go into his creation and study it and go, oh, wow, God, do you realize that this, whoa, yeah, I did that. Wow, what an awesome God you are. And so science always goes back to the Creator. And so what we suggest is feeding our bodies everything possible so that body will do what it needs to do. And so, yes, we have some individual personalities, different things, different groups. But what we can learn from culture and history that God designed the body, we're all similar. Now, we might have some different needs, but this is what we need to do is just feed our body, make sure it has everything it needs to do what it needs to do, okay? Because it can get very complicated. Today, it's like, it's confusing. Oh, my gosh, I can't do that. I can't do this. I take this. And the person we just say we give up. So maybe throughout the day, we can maybe address that more and more. But my take, I think, is I give my body what it needs and then let it decide what I shouldn't have or should have and stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. Any more thoughts? What did you think about the historical thing? Have you seen that before? Have you heard that before? It went against a lot of some of the things we're told today, didn't it? They didn't brush their teeth, lots of saturated fat, they ate the organ meats, you know, they didn't eat lean meats. And so we think, well, what are we going to do with that? Craig, what are you teaching us? Okay, and so we're going to try to apply that after lunch, how we can use biblical and historical wisdom to apply to foods we can eat today. Okay? So before we do that, I want just to close here in the last 20 minutes here. We want to just look at some of the summary. What were some of the characteristics that we can learn from? Now, one thing Dr. Price was concerned about, or actually was a little confused about, was the fact that not every single diet was the same, okay? Some had all kinds of things. And so how are we going to learn from this wisdom from history, using the Bible as a guideline, to apply it to our health? And so we're going to look at some of these underlying characteristics of healthy diets. Some of the things, you know, some of these cultures ate like the fermented fish that's rancid and it stinks. And it's like, you know, we couldn't even get close to that. Other cultures had that Eskimo ice cream with the seal oil. And it's like, yuck. Okay, so how do we apply nutritionally? Because like, I'm not going to eat seal oil ice cream. I'm sorry. I'm not going to eat the fermented eyeball soup. You know, I want something that tastes good for my palate culturally. Now, we all have the same taste buds. Have you realized that? It's how we train our taste buds. And so Sindrid is giving his kids cod liver oil, unflavored cod liver oil, and they love it at an early age. Because he's trained his taste buds to eat a certain thing. You know, we've trained our taste buds to have something really sweet, salty, but we can retrain them as well. And so what we're going to do is apply this wisdom so how we can get nutrients back in and apply it to our body, okay? So these are some of the characteristics of these healthy diets. The key word, remember the key word I talked about, why do we eat? What's that word? Nourish, nutrition. So the key word here is nutrition. So we're going to look at the nutritional guidelines of these findings. And so before we do that, I need to read this. This information contained in this presentation is not intended as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is provided for educational purposes only. You assume a full responsibility, not YOM, for how you choose to use this information. Okay? And so, yeah, we're responsible. Now, isn't it sad that to read things like this? Isn't that sad? I mean, that right there says there's something wrong with our society. I want healthy people. I want kids, and I want healthy people, but I got to say, be careful what you're saying, because it might go against what we've been told or teaching. So this material, again, it comes from the Weston A. Price Foundation, and so we ask that, again, just use our biblical glasses to look at this thing here, okay? So the first principle is here. There is no refined or denatured foods, okay? I think, you know, the list of such man-made items coming to the different places that Dr. Price visited at that time was relatively small, refined sugars, white flours, vegetable oils, et cetera. And today, unfortunately, that list is very long, and we have all kinds of things that we are considered man-made or refined or denatured, where we're taking things out, adding things back in, and it's not promoting health, okay? Refined, we've got grains, we process it, we must remove all the nutrients, and so if white flour is a basis for many cultures, like American culture. Pasteurized and reduced fat milks are not whole foods. These are foods that where vital nutrients have been damaged or removed. Refined vegetable oils and hydrated fats are completely new to the human diet, okay? And this is one of the chief causes of our health issues today. Take note of that. These are new. These oils we talk about today are new. They're not historically used. Isolated proteins are not whole foods. And today we have over 2,000 additives in our food today. Now, one thing we promote is that our body was designed to consume and eliminate. Okay, our liver is designed to filter toxins and get out of our body. And so, yeah, it's doing a good job. But when we start overloading our liver with so many additives and so many chemicals, it's saying, whoa, stop. I can't keep up with you eating this junk stuff. So this is why it's important to fast, as well as how we can to work around that. Okay, here's some examples of some modern processed foods. One of the most famous quotes of Dr. Price was this, life in its fullness is Mother Nature obeyed, okay? And so this is where principle number two comes in. Remember principle number two? Actually, what was principle number one? Eat the foods that God designed, okay? And what was number two? Remember principle number two? Eat it before man changed it. Okay, here's a good example of some principle number two. Man has tried to improve on God's creation. And I can say without reservation that this type of food does not promote health, but it's very common and normal today, okay? Second principle, and I believe we do have some notes, is that right? I saw you come in with some papers. Very good. So a lot of these things, folks, I have it written down. So those who are scribbling fanatically, okay, we have some of these written down. But this is probably Dr. Price's greatest disappointment, that every diet contained animal products, okay? He was thinking that the healthiest diet at that time would be a vegetarian diet. And he didn't find any culture who ate only vegetables, vegetarian. Okay? And so today, it's becoming a big push, the idea of veganism, vegetarianism. Many Christians are getting sucked into that as well, saying, well, Genesis 1:29 says it's supposed to be vegetarian. because that was the original diet, true, but something happened after the flood where God's we need to eat meat, okay? And so he found that those who ate animal foods were very healthy, especially fish and shellfish, okay? And the organ meats kept cultures very healthy. And so he measured these things. And so animal products. And so what are in animal products that are very important for us? There are certain nutrients that are only found in animal products. And the first and foremost is vitamins A and D. And they're found only in animal fats. Okay, now this is something we're going to list some myths here, but understand why they're so important. Okay, animals, vitamins A and D are very important for our body. Cholesterol is also found in animal products, and we've been told this is the bad guy causing all kinds of problems, but actually it's a nutrient. It's very important, okay? And we'll look at some of the cholesterol briefly. I think we'll probably have a lot of time on that. Basically, let me ask you this question. Many people, have we heard cholesterol is bad for us? Is that here? Very, you know, in the West, it's very bad for us, okay? Let me ask you a question, okay? From a biblical standpoint, a loving creator, what food today has one of the most highest levels of cholesterol there is? Egg is number two, okay? Or that's right up there, number two, but the first one, one of the top, I want to say it is the first, but it's probably the first, okay? Okay, let's see here. You said butter? Okay, butter's down. It's on the top 10. But there's eight of you that can only make it. Mother's breast milk, very high in cholesterol. So now then, why would a loving creator put cholesterol on something that's supposed to be bad for us? Okay, so I go, whoa, I'm going to question the science because this doesn't work. Eggs, very high in cholesterol. The egg yolk, very high in cholesterol. And so why would a loving creator say you can eat the chicken and then the egg that comes from the chicken say, oh, that's deadly, it's going to kill you. What type of loving creator would do that? Okay, I would question the science behind that. Okay, and that's what we need to start doing. Okay, other things, vitamin B12s, these are all very, only in animal products. This is why vegetarians and vegans have B12 deficiencies, and so they have to try to find a way to get their B12. They say they can get that from soy, but we'll find out you cannot do that. Nutrients that are more easily absorbed, like calcium, B6, magnesium, iron, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and so this is why these cultures, we believe, emphasize animal foods. This is why God, after the flood, said eat animal foods, animal products, because there's certain nutrients we understand now that we need. Now, Asians, for example, don't have any dairy products. You know, it's very common. What do they have? They have bone broth, lots of bone broth, right? So I see that, what's that? Everyday bone broth, okay? And so they're getting the nutrients they get from the bones that they can't get from other products. And so this is where the wisdom of these cultures come out that God's given us that we need to apply, okay? Here is a beautiful woman from the tribe of Africa whose only foods are fermented goat milk and probably some insects, okay? It's considered a vegetarian diet, but it's nutrients from animals as well as insects. But it provides all the nutrients for her body and her needs, okay? And so the idea of vegetarianism, we just have to be careful here because of the fact that people think we can be, in fact, vegetarianism and veganism is being promoted today as like the healthiest diet on the planet. It's the best diet to save the Earth, Mother Earth. Okay, we're probably hearing this more and more. And the U of N, I guess, have just adopted this as the official worldly diet, veganism. But you cannot get certain things from that. And a lot of people go to vegetarianism because they say, well, all those bad animals are being tortured. They're being, you know, badly treated. But we need to realize that there's lots of products that come from animals, not just food, okay? And so to say you're not killing animals because you don't eat meat, well, you're still killing animals because here is an illustration from the beef industry, and it says not only meat, but plastics and building materials and hydraulic brake fluids for planes, products and tires, cosmetics and crayons, things come from the animal. Okay, so a lot of things are used from the animal. Historically, we always use the whole animal for clothing, for gelatins, and there's every culture you find uses of animal parts that we would say were not useful today. And so we've been told that we need to go on this more low-fat diet, high-fiber diet that's impossible for any length of time, and we get so starved, what do? We end up going to what we call the pornographic food, and that's the nice-looking food that's very nice-looking, wow, beautiful, but there's nothing to it, okay? Pornographic food. And that's a very key thing. So, yeah, so animal products are very important. Now, as a Christian, I'm not sure if I have my things, but as a Christian, you know, can you say that God, you know, vegetarian diet is a biblical diet? Well, yes and no. Yes, from the original, before sin, and for 2,000 years, you bet. Okay, so this is why I said, let's eat more fruits and vegetables. We need to get back. The Daniel fast, for example, is a vegetarian vegan diet for a temporary period of time. Long-term, vegetarian diets are not healthy. And so when someone says, well, isn't vegetarian good for you? I say, well, it's anti-biblical, it's anti-historical, and in the long term, it's not healthy. Short-term things, you bet, okay? And so we just want to be careful not to step on the toes of some of the Christians, but it's not biblical because Genesis says after the flood, something's changed where we need animal nutrients, okay, and go from there. Okay, so the third point here, as we're wrapping down here before our food time, is that this is probably the most important principle he has, is that nutrient density, okay? No matter what the people were eating, there was lots of nutrients in what they were eating. And he found out that primitive diets contained 4 times the calcium and other minerals and 10 times the fat-soluble vitamins compared to the modern American diet at that time, in the 1920s and 30s, okay? So it's even more today. So for some reason, all these cultures said, man, we need the fat-soluble vitamins. That's A, D, E, and K, or the big fat. We need fat to digest these things. And so that's in the fat of milk, in the fat of meat fats and stuff, okay? And so a lot of these things were very nutrient dense. And so this is why organic farming is so important. You know, if it's not in the soil, it's not in the food, okay? So I'm into organic farming. I believe you can't deal with food without going back to my source, which is the soil. King Uzziah in 1 Chronicles 26 said he was a lover of the soil. And so if we're growing things that has all the nutrients in the soil, it produces food with nutrients in it. But if I'm buying organic food and the soil is not being taken care of, I don't care if it's organic, it's not in the food. So we have to make sure that where's this food coming from? Is the nutrients back in the soil, so it goes into the food, goes into the cow, goes into my tummy, okay? And so we need to look at that. So I like to challenge us. You know, I believe the most important person on the face of the earth is the farmer. The important person on any nation can only survive if the people survive. And so who does the growing is the farmer. And so today there's a lot of emphasis on health care and, you know, hey guys, let's go back to the farmers, take care of our own health, okay? And so some of these nutrient densities, a lot of vitamins A and D, we see sources of vitamins A and D, seafoods, and these are some of the areas here. Sea mammals, again, remember, put your Bible glasses on. This is stuff from the Washington Price, so I would say, well, I don't necessarily eat the seal, but we see a lot of these things that high sources of vitamin A and D, grass-fed things, insects, butter, okay, organ meats, animal fat, okay? And so they're very important. In fact, what Dr. Price found out was this. A lot of this information, too, I think we have a handout for you folks. You can put those in there to read as well. But what he found out was this, that these vitamins in A and D are needed for rendering the minerals in the food available to the human system. It is possible to starve for minerals that are abundant in the foods eaten because they cannot be utilized without an adequate quantity of fat-soluble activators. What's that mean? We need vitamin A's and D's to get all the minerals out of our food. This is why you start noticing, why does cultures always eat fat with whatever? Because the cultures recognize, I need to have the vitamins A and D. I remember I was over a lady from Ukraine. She gave me borscht. I was like, yes, ooh, that's good, borscht. And she said, nope, don't eat it yet. I said, well, why not? And she came out and put this big blob of sour cream right in the middle. And I said, why did you do that? We don't eat this without cream. But why not? So well, we always do this. So I was able to explain why you did it traditionally. There's a wisdom there that they had that we wanted to make sure that all the vitamin A was there so that whatever nutrients in that soup, that vitamin A was able to get it into my body so my body was healthy. So this is what they noticed a lot, okay? So we consider it as bricks and mortar. The mortar is the fat-soluble activators, A and D, and the bricks are the minerals. And so we want nutrients in our body and let it build and rebuild. Okay, just a few myths here before we move on. One is about the vitamin A. People say, well, you can get vitamin A from plants. Well, you can't, okay? I believe, brother, you're a chemist in the back. Are you a chemist? Okay. I understand that if you look at the Merck's manual, any of these things, vitamin A is not listed on vegetables. Okay, what is there? Okay, there's no vitamin A in plant foods. But Craig, carrots have vitamin A. There we go. What do plants have? They have what a precursor to vitamin A, which is a beta carotene. When your body takes that and converts it to vitamin A. Okay, and so It's very important that, okay, if we're going to eat only plants, boy, we got to make sure our body is functioning properly. And to do that, we need to have a very conversion thing. So not everybody can do that conversion. Some of the babies and children is difficult or impossible. Diabetics, people with poor thyroid and liver function, intestinal things, okay? And so we've been always told, hey, vitamin A, get it from plants, you don't need it from animals. That's false. Okay, it's a beta carotene. That's the most easily digestible, converted carotene in the plant kingdom. You can go to that, okay? So what we want to do is let animals convert it for us. They take the carotene from grasses and stuff and convert it into vitamin A4. They're in their body, so we eat the vitamin A. Does that make sense? This is why you eat plants or animals. It's easier for us to get the vitamin A's, okay? Very good. Quickly here, and then you want to close with that GMO video? Can we have that? What's your thought on that? Okay, I'm just going to a few more things here. So another one is the vitamin D myth is about we can get plenty of our vitamin D from sunlight. That's true. We can get vitamin D from sunlight, but we have to be naked and go out certain times of the day. And for some cultures, it's almost impossible. So we need our vitamin D from animal sources. And these sources are the very things we're told not to eat, just like the vitamin A. A lot of cholesterol-laden, fat-laden foods. Lots of vitamin A's and D's. And so very important for us. Traditionally, here's some traditional typical African foods. Here we have some on the unrefined palm oil. Okay, it's a saturated fat, very used. On the right, we have a fermented shrimp paste. Shrimp, very high in a lot of these activated vitamins A and D. Here's one here this is Zimbabwe. Dried little insects and dried fish. Okay, and I believe in some Asian cultures, did you give dried fish to kids? You have little dry fish? Okay, it's very common. But in America, we have dried fish too. We give it to our kids. It's those little orange crackers that are shape of a fish, right? So that's our fish, okay? Okay. And so a very good source of vitamins A and D is, hey, butter, eggs, cheese, milks, okay? And these are the yummy ones. These are like, this is like Swiss. It's like, yes, cheese. Ah, I love cheese. I love eggs, okay? Ready? And so we can go on different things here, but just again, the importance of nutrient density. And not only for nutrients, it's for our brain too. We need to function our brain. Our brain needs a lot of these fat-soluble vitamins. They need things for good health. We have to have these in our diets. And so, you know, pregnant women today are told not to eat these things. Wow, there's a whole section on what pregnant women should be eating from a traditional standpoint. And we're told, you know, get our kids on low-fat diets, get them on low-cholesterol diets, it's genocide. We're killing ourselves. Now, from what Sindhu and I understand from one of our research, wow, guys, this is bigger. This is not just an issue about food. This is a control issue. This is an end times issue. Why would we see all this stuff coming together where mankind cannot be fertile, cannot reproduce, they're always sick, they're dependent upon a medical system? Whoa. Let's wake up, children. Look up, kids. Or let's wake up, people. Okay, I covered everybody there. So, this is big. And so we have to understand that this is what's behind this is going against our very creator who said, be fruitful and multiply and be healthy. For those of you who love liver, it's interesting, liver. People say, liver, well, Craig, it's full of toxins. Liver's full of toxins. Why can we eat so it's bad? Well, the liver's job is to filter and get out toxins. It doesn't store toxins, okay? Can you imagine your body just storing toxins the rest of your life? And you'd be just a toxic waste dump by the time you die. Well, you should probably die earlier. But what liver does, it filters out the toxins and passes out through the bile or through the bowels or through the urine, okay? And so liver, very high levels of all kinds of issues. And in this area of the world, probably the best way to eat liver is in the form of a pate. Okay, I actually made some time. One time my son tried some. He goes, wow, Dad, it's not bad. And so we try to sneak liver in. Now, my wife, she's come a long way. I was the radical weird one. And so it was tough at times in our family. But this is one thing she still doesn't like. And so if she's gone and there's some food cooking, I will sneak some liver in sometimes. And, honey, what? Did you do something to the beans? Me? What do you mean? And so we need to get liver. And so one thing we do with our kids is we give them cod liver oil. I think cod liver oil is very important. I believe a lot of the Scandinavian countries, we have syndromes giving his kids cod liver oil very early on. In fact, historically, in our country, cod liver oil was given on a daily basis, you know. And so here's some different ads here. There's a French ad here, you know, from a while back. guaranteed to be natural without any preparation, without a mixture such as cod liver oil. Babies need cod liver oil. Your baby, give him that help he needs to build a well-shaped head, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, why are your kids so depressed? You'll give them cod liver oil because they need the vitamin A and D. This is truth. This is historical truth, wisdom here, that we've said, we don't need it. And so here back in 1938, we got the nursery schools, you know, giving kids cod liver oil. The cadets, military schools, to put on weight and be healthy was given cod liver oil. And so why? Because it's the vitamin A's and D's, it nutrient-dense foods, okay, that allow the body to heal itself. And so what we want to do is we want to close. We mentioned before about the GMOs, but before we do that, the idea of here is we're nourishing our body, okay? We looked at briefly some history here. It's like, oh, my gosh, these cultures are eating food. They're not supposed to be eating, but they're healthy. And we're told the very things the opposite today. We're teaching out in southern Spain, and one of the students of our class was a medical student. She had just got her medical degree from the University of Malaga. And as I was sharing things, she just put her hand on the desk one time. Put her head down. I said, Carolina, what's wrong? She says, Craig, everything you're telling us is exact opposite what we're learning at the university. But she said, it makes so much sense. It's logical. And we've forgotten the logic behind our food system. We've given it to the world. So, well, the world decides, God, excuse us, get out of here. So we want to apply biblical wisdom and bring in historical, and then this afternoon we'll try to look at how can we practically make changes to our diet. Okay. Now, this is a huge subject. We could go on for a whole week. In fact, Sindri invited us for a whole week. That would be ideal. We need to dig these things out using God, invite the Holy Spirit in this whole areas of food and nutrition and health. And I'm studying natural, I'm studying herbs now. I'm realizing, wow, plants. I've never realized that plants, we don't know anything about plants anymore. We're Christians. And so we need to bring these things back into the body of Christ. Why? Because it glorifies Jesus. It points to a loving creator who loves us and cares for us. And it's relevant to the world. So let's do that, okay? And so I mentioned before about some of the way man's done things. GMO is one of the areas that genetically modified where we've gone in and we started to change things from a gene level. Man will say, hey, here's a gene from a tomato, but we're going to add a gene from a spider and we'll force it into that tomato to make it have certain characteristics that the spider has we want in a tomato, for example. Okay, there's all this weird things going on. And it's a health issue. It's huge, 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 okay? And so let's close with that video. Is that ready to go? Do I need to turn this off, or what do I need to do up here? Like you can override that one?